Opening narration.
Akatra Foundation presents The Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome back to The Akatra Dialogue. Today we're diving into something a bit different, not a book, but an absolutely massive cultural event. The documentary series, The Last Dance.
That's right. Released in 2020 by ESPN and Netflix, it's this incredible 10-part series focusing on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls dynasty of the 1990s.
And Jordan himself is front and center, narrating much of it. It gives you this really unparalleled inside look.
Exactly. It's significant because it wasn't just about basketball. It explored leadership, pressure, fame, the cost of greatness. Themes that resonate far beyond sports.
Absolutely. It captivated audiences globally, especially when it landed during the early lockdowns of 2020. It gave everyone a shared experience looking back at this iconic era.
And it really forces you to ask, what does it truly take to achieve and sustain that kind of dominance? That's what makes it worth exploring today.
The chronological journey.
Okay, so let's trace that journey. Where does the series start us off? With Jordan's early years.
It does, yeah. It touches on his childhood in North Carolina, famously getting cut from the varsity team.
That story's legendary. Fuel for the fire, right?
Totally. Then you see his rise at the University of North Carolina, hitting that game-winning shot in the NCAA championship.
Uh-huh.
And then exploding onto the scene in Chicago in 84. The Bulls were, well, kind of nowhere before him.
Right. He instantly made them relevant.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just him, was it? The series really emphasizes the team building.
Oh, absolutely. A huge focus is Scottie Pippen, you know, his indispensable number two.
Mm.
The series delves into his background, incredibly tough upbringing, unlikely path to the NBA.
And that contract issue, right? That comes up a lot.
Yeah, massively. Signed early, way below his value later on. And that created some real tension, especially during that 97-98 season, the actual Last Dance year.
Which was framed by the general manager, Jerry Krause, wanting to break the team up, basically.
Exactly. Krause is painted, well, pretty much as the antagonist, determined to rebuild, creating friction with Jordan, Pippen, and Coach Phil Jackson.
Ah, Phil Jackson, the Zen master. Let's talk about him. His approach was pretty unique.
Totally unique, blending Zen, Lakota Sioux philosophy, and Tex Winter's triangle offense. It was revolutionary in a way.
And getting Jordan, Mr. Individual Brilliance, to buy into a system? That must have been a challenge.
Huge challenge, but Jackson managed it. He got Jordan to trust the process, trust his teammates. That was key.
Okay, so the team's forming. Jordy, Pippen, Jackson. But there were major hurdles. The Detroit Pistons.
Oh, the bad boys. They were brutal. Physically punishing the Bulls, beating them in the playoffs year after year.
Right.
Overcoming them in 91. That wasn't just a win, it felt like an exorcism. It was the gateway to the first championship, the first three-peat.
And that's when the global fame really hit, right? The Dream Team in Barcelona 92, the commercials, the Be Like Mike era.
Absolutely exploded. He became more than an athlete. He was a global icon. But, you know, that came with intense scrutiny.
Yeah, the series doesn't shy away from that. The gambling stories.
Right, like the Atlantic City trip during the playoffs. The media storm was relentless.
And his famous line, I don't have a gambling problem, I have a competition problem.
Which tells you so much about his mindset. Everything was a competition he had to win.
But the pressure, the lack of privacy,
yeah,
it clearly took a massive toll.
Immense. Leading up to the absolute tragedy of his father, James Jordan, being murdered in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And the media insensitively trying to link it to gambling.
Mm.
That was just devastating for him.
Understandably.
Right.
And that led to the first retirement, right, at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, stunning everyone. He steps away, age 30, to play baseball, a dream he shared with his father.
A really difficult, humbling experience for him in the minor leagues, wasn't it?
Definitely. While the Bulls, well, they struggled without him, proved how vital he was.
But he couldn't stay away. That competitive fire.
Too strong. The famous two-word facts. I'm back.
Goosebumps moment. Even now.
Right. And he returns to a slightly different team. Now they have Dennis Rodman.
Oh, Rodman. Talk about managing personalities. How did Phil Jackson handle that?
Masterfully, really. Jackson understood Rodman needed a longer leash. Remember the mid-season Vegas trip?
Huh. Yeah, unbelievable.
Jackson allowed it, knowing it was what Rodman needed to stay focused when it mattered. It's a lesson in flexible leadership.
And it worked. That team set the record, 72-10 season.
Yep. Won the championship starting the second three-peat And we get the story behind the flu game in the 97 finals.
Which wasn't the flu.
More likely food poisoning from bad pizza makes his performance even more incredible, battling through that.
Wow. Okay, so that brings us to the actual Last Dance season, 97-98. The cameras are there documenting everything.
Exactly. Knowing it's the end, the pressure is immense. Grueling playoff run against teams like the Pacers.
Reggie Miller.
Yeah, tough series. Leading to the finals again against the Utah Jazz. Yeah. Malone, Stockton.
And it all culminates in Game 6, that final minute.
Iconic. Down one, Jordan drives for a layup, then the steal from Karl Malone.
Unbelievable defense in that moment.
Then brings it up court, the crossover on Brian Russell. Everyone remembers that.
Holds the pose.
Bang! Championship winner. The perfect ending.
And then it's over. Just like Krause planned. Team broken up. Jackson leaves. Pippen's traded. Rodman released. Jordan retires again.
The end of a dynasty. Stark and sudden.
Core philosophy and values.
So looking back at that whole arc, what was the core philosophy driving Jordan, driving that team? It seems to boil down to just winning.
It really does. But in a almost pathological way for Jordan,
yeah.
His need to win was absolute.
Yeah, the series shows him inventing slights, using any perceived disrespect as fuel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I took it personal, he said. Every practice, every card game on the plane, it was all a battleground for him.
So hyper-competitiveness was definitely core. What else? What about his values around leadership?
Well, it was leadership through, I guess you'd call it tough love, maybe even fear sometimes.
Right. Teammates describe him as incredibly demanding, pushing them relentlessly, sometimes crossing the line, like the fight with Steve Kerr.
Yeah, he pushed hard. But his argument, which you hear him articulate emotionally in this series, is that winning has a price. Leadership has a price.
I pulled people along when they didn't want to be pulled.
I challenged people when they didn't want to be challenged.
Mm.
He believed it was his job to drag them to his level of expectation.
And crucially, he demanded it of himself first. That work ethic.
Undeniable. First in the gym, last out. That gave him the credibility, the moral authority to demand it from others.
So the philosophy is relentless competitiveness, demanding leadership backed by personal example, and an unwavering focus on the goal winning.
Three pivotal turning points.
Thinking about that journey, can we pinpoint maybe three pivotal moments, real turning points that changed everything?
Oh, definitely. I think the first huge one has to be finally defeating the Detroit Pistons in the 1991 Eastern Conference Finals.
Getting over that hump.
Exactly. They'd been physically beaten down by the Pistons for years. It was a psychological barrier as much as a physical one.
Yeah.
Winning that series, sweeping them, in fact.
Yeah.
It wasn't just getting to the finals. It was the moment they knew they could win it all. It unlocked that championship mentality. That was turning point number one, for sure.
Okay, makes sense. What's number two?
I think it has to be the combination of his father's tragic death in 1993 and his subsequent retirement to play baseball.
Such a profound shift.
It was. It showed his vulnerability, the immense personal cost of his fame and pressure. Stepping away from basketball at his absolute peak, it changed the narrative around him.
And his return then was also part of that?
His return was driven by rediscovering his love for the competition. Yeah. But that whole period, the loss, the grief, the baseball experiment, the comeback, it fundamentally altered his trajectory and maybe even his perspective. It's a massive turning point.
Okay, so beating Detroit and the first retirement return, what's the third key moment?
For me, it's got to be that final sequence in Game 6 of the 1998 Finals. The steal, the shot.
The storybook ending.
It's more than just winning another championship. It was the culmination of everything that season, that whole second run, the knowledge it was ending, the internal friction, the pressure.
Uh-huh.
And for Jordan to seal it himself in that fashion, with his last shot as a Bull, it cemented his legacy in a way that nothing else could. It was the Last Dance, personified in one perfect final act, a definitive end.
Human lessons and reflection.
So when we step back from the specifics of basketball, what are the human lessons here? What can we, you know, relate to in our own lives?
Well, one big one is definitely how to deal with failure and setbacks. Jordan's career is almost defined by them.
Being cut from the team, losing to Detroit, the struggles in baseball.
Right. And his response wasn't just to work harder, though he did. It was this intense focus, this almost analytical approach to why he failed and what needed to change. He used it as fuel.
That's a powerful lesson, not just resilience, but actively learning and adapting from failure.
Definitely. Another thing is the sheer pressure of expectation, whether external or internal. Jordan lived in a goldfish bowl. And while most of us don't face that level of scrutiny, we all deal with pressure deadlines, performance expectations, personal goals, seeing how he navigated that, the intensity it required, it's eye-opening.
It also highlights the sacrifices involved in pursuing greatness, doesn't it? The isolation, the impact on personal life.
Absolutely. It asks you to consider the true cost. Is that level of single-minded dedication always worth it? What gets left behind?
Yeah.
And maybe related to that is the importance of team, even when you have a transcendent individual talent. Jordan couldn't do it alone.
Right. Pippen, Jackson, Rodman, Kerr, they all play crucial roles.
It's a reminder that success, especially sustained success, is almost always a collective effort, requiring different personalities and skills working together, even with friction.
Those are really relatable struggles and triumphs, even outside of sports.
Three final takeaways.
Okay, so if we had to boil this down for our listeners, what are three final takeaways from the last dance in Jordan's story? Let's start with a bit of emotional insight.
I think the most powerful emotional insight is the profound personal cost of relentless ambition and unprecedented fame. You see the isolation, the exhaustion, the burden, especially highlighted by his father's death. Greatness demands sacrifice, often in ways we don't see on the surface. It's not all glamour.
That's powerful. Okay, what about an intellectual insight, something key about the ideas presented?
Intellectually, I'd say it's the complex and often uncomfortable nature of elite leadership. Jordan's style, demanding, sometimes abrasive, leading by example, but also by expectation, worked in that context. But it challenges simpler notions of leadership. It forces you to think about the tension between driving results and nurturing people and how that balance might shift depending on the stakes.
A very nuanced take on leadership.
Right.
And finally, a universal insight, a practical life lesson.
The most universal lesson, I think, is the power of using adversity as a catalyst. Jordan consistently turned perceived slights, failures, and losses into focused energy and motivation. That ability to reframe setbacks not as endpoints, but as starting points for renewed, smarter effort, that's applicable to anyone pursuing any goal, big or small. Don't just endure failure, harness it.
Closing narration.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.